Welcome to School Safety Today, a podcast brought to you by Raptor Technologies. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grosso. Our episode today highlights the role of the school resource officer, and we're doing this because February 15th is National School Resource Officer Appreciation Day. And I'm so excited to introduce you to our guest, Dr. Penny Schultz. Dr. Schultz is the Assistant Director of School Safety and Security at Chesapeake Public Schools in Virginia. Welcome, Penny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if you can start off with just like introducing yourself a little bit and describing what you do as the Assistant Director of School Safety and Security.
Okay. Again, I'm Penny Schultz, and I'm really happy to be here. My role, I think it grows every single year as school safety and security becomes the top priority across our nation and within each school district. The role and responsibility and the duties that we oversee tend to grow, which is not a bad thing. But as you can imagine, the majority of our role is almost woven in between and amongst all departments in our district. And then it doesn't just stop there. We become instrumental in being collaborative partners with all of our first responders, our state agencies, our emergency managers. So our role transpires across all avenues from, you know, developing and implementing and overseeing comprehensive safety plans, being the lead trainer for proactive measures when you talk about, you know, building safety, student safety, staff safety, all the way down to our community's safety when coming onto property. So, and then in there, we become part of our city's emergency management team. So when anything may happen, arise, even as we're looking at weather coming, we're on all of those alert calls. And, you know, should the school system shut down or we have to use buildings for shelters, we become instrumental in those pieces as well. But I think the most important piece of work that we do, or I do in this role, is being available and being a support to our buildings. So when crisis hits, regardless how big or small, something you may see, you know, you or I may seem as a small crisis, principals, administrators, depending on their lens and their experience, you never know where they're coming from and where they are when those things land in their lap and they have to navigate through it. So a key role that myself and the other person in my office often find ourselves doing is whenever crisis hits, we are on the phone. You know, I was like, just keep me on speakerphone. You don't have to talk to me. We're going to walk you through everything and anything you need. But it's that sense of comfort for them. You know, and it's those supportive statements like, you got this. We've been trained. You've done, you know, hours of training with our department and the things that we've done. And then when we come out and do those safety risk assessments, those school vulnerability assessments, we see such progress across our district. It's amazing to see the work that our administrators have done, but to reassure them that you have safety measures in place, we know they're in place, and we're here for you. So, I mean, I know training and proactive measures are the biggest piece, but I think everything boils down to relationships and then being there and being a support for our entire school community.
You know, and I loved you talking about that, like put me on speakerphone. And I can only imagine this is how you approach it because of your background. And I would love for our listeners to understand you've had such a variety of different positions that have led you to this role you currently have.
So my career, after graduating college, I think my first initial was like, I'm going to law school. It's what I wanted to do. But then, you know, you start those baby steps and that's an astronomical bill. So, you know, my career began in law enforcement. So I was a local city, not Chesapeake, but in our state, police officer. And as I began navigating that career, I really found myself drawn and really interested in our youth and our community. So I quickly joined our police athletic league and started becoming involved in those measures where, you know, we would begin to identify our most at-risk communities and then the students within those communities. And you get to a point in law enforcement where you're like, what else can we do? We're constantly seeing the same kids recidivate and enter into the system over and over and over, or we're answering calls over and over and over. And it's like, where can we start this process to to address it before it gets to that point. Because even as a law enforcement officer, you're in your community, you're trying to build relationships. I was part of our community policing team and the police athletic league, but it just didn't feel like enough. You really couldn't build those relationships. So I career switched and went into education and became a teacher at one of our at-risk schools in our Tidewater area. And from there, I switched over to public education, where I spent my switch immediately went into administration. So then I became a public school principal for several years, where now I've landed into the Office of Safety and Security. So I feel like that gives me a part of all the best worlds of and the career interest that I've had. It kind of combines and ties it all together nicely.
No, and I love that you have, you know, you've been a police officer, you've been a teacher, you've been a campus administrator, so that in this role you have now, you can have understanding and mm-hmm. empathy for all the different sides that are
right.
part of it.
It's a very nice lens when you're talking about whole school, whole child, and then whole system perspectives. Because you see the law enforcement side of it, and sometimes we can be very black and white, and this is the law. But the education side of it, you have that lens of what are we doing proactively and how do we educate and guide children? And you go back to that definition of what is discipline. It's not consequences, right? It's education, it's teaching. And so it ties those worlds together very nicely, and it helped me to be able to navigate and have those conversations in those collaborative communities where it was, I guess, a sense of ease on how you communicate to all of those different agencies and then bridge, you know, create the bridge between all of them, which was nice.
You know, and that's exactly why we wanted you on the podcast today as we talk about school resource officers, that the February 15th is the day we appreciate them and recognize them, although we should be doing that year round. It's just we take that one day. But I have found that often there's a misconception about what SROs do and their role in schools. And so from your lens and your different experiences, can you share how you see like what the SRO's role is and how they contribute to keeping our campuses safe?
I think first and foremost is they are a member of our school community. I mean, although they're sworn law enforcement officers, we should never approach this collaborative partnership as an us and them. It's never what it was intended to be. We don't believe in that philosophy here in Chesapeake. We are a team. And their purpose isn't what the traditional law enforcement or street officer is. They're not answering calls for service, unless it's at a school, obviously. They're not answering calls for service. They're not, their total lens isn't, we're just, you know, writing tickets, upholding law, arresting, you know, those. They become mentors, mediators, relationship builders. Part of our program here is they teach classes when they go into our civics classes, or they oversee student assemblies on anything from supporting crisis prevention, see something, say something, bridging mentorship. All of those pieces are tied into what our SROs do on a daily basis. And I mean, of course, visibility is deterrence, right? So we know that too. We're very specific on where you park your car, let that level of visibility be there, because we want the outside to know that we have officers there that are here to serve and protect as well. But I can't even begin to emphasize how critical it is that our officers are out and about in our community and bridging relationships and are in classrooms. And they're an extension of what a teacher is in a classroom. And they're there for kids. More times than not, we find that see something, say something is with our trusted SROs in our buildings versus even the teachers in the classroom, which is an amazing relationship that we have in our district. And I'm sure that exists across our country. But that is what they're there for. They're not there to, you know, criminally charge kids or put kids into, you know, the criminal justice system. It's to identify, prevent, support, mentor, be there as not only a student companion, but the community companion when crisis hits or students are in crisis, from, you know, anything as I had an SRO tell me the other day that a student came and said, you know, if we have snow days, you know, where would I get food from? You know, but I mean, it's, but there, I love that that is their trusted person. And then that relationship that they build within that school and start having, you know, collaborative conversations about how we get support to kids from anything from, you know, their concerns. We don't want them leaving with concerns. And you always wonder how many walk away and didn't have that trusted individual. So it warms my heart that, you know, our SROs are instrumental in that. And, you know, I'll go out and do visits, or we're doing school vulnerability assessments, and I watch our SROs and they're sliding down the little preschool slides with kids. You know, they're truly a member of our community, and we value that, that collaborative relationship that we have with our city partners.
Absolutely. And, you know, it makes me think when you went back and we're talking, like, when you were like the role of a city police officer or somebody in jurisdictions like that, that a lot of it is black and white, right? Like, you broke the law, you get a ticket and stuff. But in saying in education, it's so much different than that. And it sounds like what you're saying, the SRO's role is so much more like the educator's role than a traditional officer's role.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And many of them welcome that, you know, I mean, in this day and age, to want to be an SRO in a school can be a scary thought, you know, with the tragedies that we often see, you know, on the news and what are publicized and the horrific events and the worst moment in a family's life. For our family and our students and our staff to have that level of comfort that I have someone here that I know, I love, I trust, and that that's here to protect me. It's a completely different mindset shift from the day-to-day answering of calls, you know, in a community. And not that our, you know, street officers don't build relationships. They absolutely do. It's just, it just takes it to a completely different level.
Absolutely, because they get to build like longstanding relationships with students. Like, I think of SROs I've known in middle schools and high schools where they've gotten to see students for 3 or 4 years. Like, they end up knowing who they are. They know their families. Like, they go to their sporting events or their plays. Like, they really invest in students' lives.
Or the, you know, I'm sure many districts do that. You get your limited amount of tickets for graduation. And the first, you know, one of the first people that a student wants to give a ticket to is an SRO to come and see me graduate. Like, that is just like so heartwarming to hear.
Yeah. And I don't think we can reiterate enough that SROs aren't there just to lock kids up. And I think that the biggest misconception.
And that's the last thing we want to do in the world of education. Again, it's to educate, to prevent, to provide supports, to intervene prior to getting to that point, if we can, and building those relationships, allow those and enhance those proactive measures to be put in place. Just knowing a child and seeing like, okay, this child never puts their head down in my class, or, you know, this child isn't communicating as often as, like, just to see those triggers and to intervene before you get to a place of crisis where sometimes your hands are tied and then you're at a point of no return. And, you know, then you're locked by, you know, you're blocked by policies. So it's nice to be able to have that separate lens in a building.
Absolutely. And I'm wondering if we have some, you know, newer campus administrators or other campus staff that really haven't worked with SROs, what are effective ways for them to start that collaboration and build that relationship?
So it's interesting that you ask that question. We historically in Chesapeake have had school resource officers in our secondary schools, you know, one for every secondary school. And then we would assign them, and we have 28 elementary schools. So we would assign them to oversee if needed. But what we quickly realized is, again, we need to start young. We need to start bridging those relationships young. So we started to collaborate with our sheriff's office. So now we have SROs in our high school or in our secondary schools, and we have school resource deputies, SRDs, in our elementary schools. And then it's a great collaborative partnership that the police department provides the trainings, because they have to be sworn law enforcement, not just jailers. It's a different, you know, there's different components to training there. So we've been able to put SRDs in all of our elementary schools. So just being able to flood that level of relationship and bridge that piece of immediate intervention, if we need to add those pieces in there, it's really nice that our district has gone above and beyond to make sure not just secondary, we can bridge all of those relationships. So to go to answer the question on new administrators, putting SRDs, whether they were new administrators or seasoned in elementary, that was new to them. And we're only in year three. And it was mind blowing. You know, at first, the uncertainty, weren't real sure. It was new to them. They've only ever had to pick up the phone and call if they needed them versus now they're a part of my staff and they're a part of our community. So as we walked them through that, we did kind of adoption ceremonies, like, hey, big meet and greet, and they came down the aisles and they met their SRD for the first time. And then I'm very fortunate in our district, we get ample amounts of training with both groups and then bridging them together and then creating, you know, protocols and policies on weekly meetings, building relationships, making sure our principals know exactly what their role is so they don't see it like they're a street officer and they're just here to enforce crime. Because, you know, I mean, when I was a principal, you often heard like, I don't want an officer in my building because I don't want my kids to think that they're here to arrest them and they're policing. Changing their mindset from that role to, no, they're here as a collaborative partner. And then it's that mutual information sharing often. And it was tough. It was different, not necessarily tough. It was just different. And they just weren't really sure, but as you know, they're showing up every day and they're having those meetings that we asked them to have, and they're having the conversations and helping them to clearly understand the memorandum of understanding and what that means and what it really looks like, was extremely beneficial as we started bridging that elementary component in our district.
You know, I love that example and really like the even like you have to meet together, right? Like you can't treat them like they're just coming to your campus and sitting somewhere unless you need them. Like you have to be intentional to fully integrate them into the activities of your campus.
Right. And it's amazing to see, like, and now I look at it 3 years in and they're going to plays and they're going to after school activities and they're sponsoring clubs they fill up, you know, the clubs are full and kids are like, well, can you do another session on a different day? So, you know, they're staying after school and they're becoming a part of their entire school community, which is it's a beautiful thing, you know, in year three to see how much that has grown and flourished.
The district I worked at with officers in elementary, you know, sometimes it was like, well, we want you to scare the kid. And there was a lot of training that had to take place of like, that is the last thing you want, because when this kid is in the community and maybe has been hurt or is in danger, you don't want them to be scared of the police officer. You want them to know they can go for help, and how dangerous that is to just have an officer to ask them to scare a little kid.
Yeah. And you're so correct. That's a huge part of our training. Like, don't ever say to a child, like, don't use, like, you know, you have coin phrases that are in the training. Like, don't say, do you want to get locked up? Do I need to go get the SRD or the SRO? Like, we're not going to use those statements. If they have to be involved, they have to be involved, but there's no fear tactics. It's, you know, we're a collaborative partner. We're going to come together. One of the most beautiful conversations I had ever seen. We had a young man, he was in trouble, had done some things that, you know, could have landed him in trouble. And when the administrator and the SRO were involved, and the student looked at him and said, why are you not yelling at me or putting handcuffs on me? Or, you know, am I going to jail? And the response of the SRO was, whether I talk to you nice or I talk to you disrespectfully, which I wouldn't do, the end result is the same thing. I want to have a conversation with you so we learn from this example and then we don't do it again. My job is to help you to learn to not make the same mistakes twice. And then he followed up with, I'm treating you the same way I would treat my own child, which was beautiful, right? So,
and what a corrective experience for that student. And, you know, when you talked earlier about like that often SROs are a trusted adult, after an experience like that, I am sure that student sees that SRO as someone they can trust.
Yes. Yes. And you know, you've come to fruition when you have principals calling me saying, I can't get the kids out of the SRO's office or, you know, into class on time because they're all wanting to hang in the hallways with them. I mean, I know we have to get to class, but what a beautiful phone call that you have to, like, if that's the worst phone call you're calling me with, I mean, we have arrived, Like, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing with our SROs.
100%. And, you know, when we talk about school safety and, you know, when we go through the trainings, we know that before any mass act of violence, that there's been leakage, that students have known something. And how amazing it is it when students start feeling like they can trust that SRO on their campus to say when they've heard something, like your campus is safer.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love how much you've talked about how those officers are part of your early intervention and prevention efforts. I think too often it's like there's the knowledge of, yes, if something horrible happens, the SROs are the ones that are on the front line.
Right.
But yet if you involve them in the everyday campus activity, mm-hmm. that helps them not have to have a crisis situation.
Right. Right. And involve them in the conversation. Many of our schools have adopted this process of, you know, it's kind of that check. It's the old check in, check out, but it's like this historical kind of report card for, you know, any of these type of red flags. And our SROs are instrumental in those conversations. And we, you know, we've even gone as far. And so early intervention, right? We've even gone as far as don't exclude them from the conversation of, you know, when a crisis has happened with a student with special needs. Like, they need to understand like what you're doing and why you're doing it, because, you know, certain interventions, certain accommodations, they may not understand if you're not communicating with them, what side are they seeing? So just to come full circle with, when we say entire school community, that's really what we try to train and emphasize and then create across our district.
When I know I had experience where, you know, we were discussing with officers and then counseling, like school counselors and stuff, about students who might have had a suicide outcry, and the officers are like, can you please let us know? And the counselors were sort of hesitant at first, like, why do you need to know that? And the officers are like, well, because if a student's walking off campus and we know they've been suicidal, that's a different degree of urgency than they're just trying to go to the 7-Eleven down the street.
Right, right. Absolutely. But, you know, I mean, I think we've lived in in education, you know, for years, we live in this, everything's kept close to the cuff when you're talking about information sharing. And now, you know, entering into this culture of, I guess it's the old adage, it takes a village. Like, let's bring and bridge our school community members and whoever needs to be involved in that conversation to benefit and help that child before that child gets to a point of crisis, then that's what we need to be doing. So it's nice that I think our culture has taken that turn across the country with school resource officers, counselors. And I know you use that term threat assessment, but often that threat assessment is that preventative measure. It's not like sometimes, you know, people feel like you did a threat assessment. What does that mean? And that sounds really terrible, but it's not. It's just an early intervention tool. And we're grateful to have all those partners at the table when those conversations take place.
I'm wondering for you, if you have any suggestions, you know, because sometimes parents are hesitant of wanting an officer at campuses, right? Like, maybe they've had a negative experience or things like that. Like, how do you respond to parents who have those concerns?
I think it's extremely important to be as transparent as possible of any possible outcomes and the why behind it. Because first and foremost, parents don't want to be deceived as to why you're involving people. But being as transparent as possible, in and of itself is going to guide you down that conversation of, this is why they're here. They're not here to file a police report. They're not here to lock your child up. They're here as a support. And well beyond the educational system, what resources does the police department have at their fingertips when you're talking about mental health supports? And I know sometimes this is terrible, but again, transparency. Sometimes let's get them in the court system for mandated or, you know, supports that the courts can order or put in place that the parent doesn't have access to. And it's not to get them detained or to get them locked up. Sometimes it's let's go down this route so we can get some supports in place for your child. But I think just being honest and open about what your intentions are and what your purpose is behind bringing them into the conversation or into the meeting puts them at ease sometimes, sometimes not, you know, and that's okay. But in those situations, you know, me as a principal, you keep your SRO really close. So when the parent's coming and going, they can at least do that introduction and they don't really know that you're, you know, because just like with kids, are you bridging that relationship with parents in your community? Is your SRO a part of your PTA meetings? Are they coming to all your after-school events? Are they participating in AM and PM clubs? Are they going into classrooms where, so then your kids are building relationships and they go home, because more times than not, you know, you'll have a kid be like, no, mom and dad, they're cool. Like, they're cool. Like, you know, I know officer such and such or deputy such and such and such. But when parents haven't had that exposure, you know, we're not helping ourselves when situations arise that we want them involved in.
You know, it's interesting because I think we're coming full circle here, because everything you're talking about is, for SROs to be effective, they have to be completely embedded in that culture of the campus, right? Like they have to go to all the meetings, they have to be part. And I love you even saying, you know, the SRO is going to be by me when that parent's coming in. So I bridge that gap. It's my responsibility as the campus administrator to make everyone feel safe here.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're about out of time here, but I am just so thankful for your knowledge, experience, and just wisdom on the role of the SRO. And, you know, I knew you would have such great insight because you've been a campus principal.
Thank you.
You know, you've been a police officer out in the community. And so you really do have that special lens to see all the different angles. And then now in your role at the district, being able to see how critical they are across the entire system, I think is so important.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I will say this, we ask so much of SROs because we want them to be the mentor, the preventative, all that. But we do know if something goes the way we don't want it to, they're the first ones to jump in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that also lends itself to that level of appreciation and wanting to bridge that relationship, because they also know this is the person that is going to protect me, right? It's that trust accelerator that you don't ever want to really talk about, but we know it's there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Penny, for joining us today and sharing important information. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in to another episode of School Safety Today. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred podcast platform so you don't miss out on future engaging and insightful discussions. Stay safe and see you next time.